While everyone's talking about AI replacing people, smart companies know the real opportunity is using AI to make their people better. Lattice is the HR platform where people and AI succeed together, helping every employee grow, every manager lead, and every company achieve greater success. Let's build a people-powered future. No regrets. Visit lattice.com/no regrets. That's LATTICE.com/no regrets.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
What is up? Welcome back to Bleach Boys. You thought this was the end, and we're back for more.
You can't kill us. We're like cockroaches.
Now, Bleach Sizeable Part 3 has been done for 1 week. We've had time to digest. We've had time to really appreciate the wonderful season we got. Did you guys know the top-rated anime of all time on IMDb is Bleach Sizeable Part Fire. 3?
I know. It makes me so happy
crazy?
To see it.
So after it finished airing, there was news stories everywhere about Bleach Sizeable Part 3 is the beat Attack on Titan.
That's right.
Which is like the big claim to fame. Is it beat Attack on Titan? Now, I think a little bit of a different culture is in the air now with Attack on Titan, because obviously Attack on Titan is a wonderful show.
It's fantastic.
Really good.
Yeah.
I personally think, I believe it's season 3 was the best one, which is right before they go to the other island. I think it goes a little bit downhill at that point from, you know, hand to God. But I do think Bleach Sizeable Part 3 is good. Is it better than Attack on Titan? I don't know. but hilarious.
It all depends. It depends on how you feel about the ending to Attack on Titan.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Which they're coming out with a movie that's going to come.
I don't know. I saw the announcement and I'm like, what else are they going to do?
And I guess this is adapting spoilers. I'm so sorry if this is going to get spoiled. But in the original manga, I guess there was like another ending that was shown that they are like in the movie theaters watching the movie happen. And then you see like real world Armin, Eren, and Mikasa. And I think that's going to be adapted in this one.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wonder how many cosplayers are gonna go just to recreate that moment.
Yep.
True, yep. Actually. That's
everybody.
A great
a
idea.
People. Oh my
man,
god.
That would be meta as fuck. To go and watch this scene dressed up identical to what their outfits are from the movie theater, that'd be crazy. So in case you guys didn't know, it ended with an average score for Thousand Part 3, a 9.3 out of 10 overall, which is very impressive.
That's not bad at
really,
all.
Really, really good. The lowest rated episode for the season was an 8.5, and that was episode 6. Does anybody remember what happened in episode 6?
It was the talkie one.
It was.
Our favorite one.
It was the talkie
one.
The
Aizen episode.
Yeah.
Yep. It was the Holy Newborn, and that is the talkie one where they first arrive in the Varvelt. They give the giant speech. That was the lowest rated episode, which
I'm surprised.
I think you two both said that's your favorite episode,
I love that episode.
Right?
Maybe we're boring.
I'm an old man now.
It's Shunsui's speech that got me.
Well, and I think it comes from a place where, what do you like about Bleach, right? Where some people clearly really like the combat-oriented episodes. They love the big Bankai reveals. We have very clearly made it that we love the talkie interactions.
The like philosophy.
I have talked, you go back to the original Bleach Boys, I have talked how much I love the after, like the end episodes where everybody's like
the
recovering and we're getting the wrap up. Those are my fucking favorite episodes. Because I love seeing, like, here's where everybody stands now. And I love it.
What's been your favorite anime that's given you a wrap-up episode?
Favorite anime that's given me a wrap-up episode. Let me really think about this one. Because, honestly, there's not a lot. Oh, can I tell you guys? Can we go off topic for a second and talk about... I saw Nosferatu.
Oh, you
the
saw
other
it?
Day. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
I did not.
Oh, you have
was
seen
it?
Yeah. Oh, Jose, I'm so good. What did you think?
It reminded me a lot of Bram Stoker's Dracula.
So do you know the backstory behind Nosferatu? That it was originally a knockoff of Bram Stoker, and they sued the fuck out of them?
Oh, my God. That's what it was?
Yes. So, and correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, because there's somebody that probably knows more about this than me. Bram Stoker's Dracula obviously came out in like the 20s or something like that. And Nosferatu was a knockoff of a knockoff of a knockoff that was translated into another language. And that's why some of the stuff is eerily similar, but kind of not.
Oh.
And it became its own thing known as Nosferatu. And eventually the estate of Bram Stoker sued the fuck out of the author. And they were court ordered to burn all copies of Nosferatu.
Way.
Obviously, they can't burn all of the copies, so it became like a cult classic. And that's why Nosferatu has very similar vibes. You also notice that in the movie, they go to Transylvania, but they never say they're going to Transylvania. Yeah. It just says on the map. Like, they never point out. That's why very similar things to Bram Stoker's, but slightly different, right?
Okay. Yeah, because I was like, it's also kind of really erotic. Yeah. At random points, I was just like, why the...
Yeah. You see the main bad guy's wiener at one point.
I was just like, all right.
And you do see a couple of boobs throughout the movie, but you do see the main guy's wiener. That is definitely in there. Jose, I thought the movie was fucking boring. So boring. Now, I will give an asterisk here. Very artsy. Very artsy, very cinematically cinematic? Beautiful is the word that I think I was going for there. There are really cool shots. There are parts of the movies that I really liked. I have never left a movie theater before where everybody was so silent when the movie ended. I have never left a movie like that before. The movie ended. It ended so abruptly. The movie ended, went to black, lights turned on, everybody was fucking silent getting out of their seats and just left the movie theater.
Because no one expected it to end, just be like, oh, that's it, we get nothing?
That was wild. Absolutely wild. I thought, so fucking boring. What a lame way to end the movie. Oh, I don't have too many nice things to say about it, but I will admit that movie was not for me.
I saw The Last Voyage of the Demeter, which was a very good Dracula-based movie, and I didn't really like it.
Interestingly enough, Pythie, you just refresh my memory, because that is a story about Dracula traveling on a boat, and he kills everybody on the boat as it's going on, right?
Yeah, that is an off-screen thing that happened in the books.
They adapt that in Nosferatu as he's on his way to the city where he's going. He does that exact thing. And I was like, oh, like, I swear that's from Dracula. And like they do that in the movie.
Did he lash the captain to the wheel?
They don't show much aside from when he's initially starting to kill people and they think there's a plague on the boat. And then all of a sudden the boat crashes into the city and everybody's dead and a whole bunch of rats come and get released.
That's kind of what happens in the book. Because in the book, it's just a description of, yeah, there's this weird ship that showed up and the captain's dead and everybody else is dead. And it was really weird. So they made that
same exact. Just same exact thing here, except all the rats came out and they're like, they brought the plague. This boat brought the plague.
Death. Mm-hmm. Death.
I liked that shitty Hugh Jackman Van Helsing movie.
Oh, I did too.
I think it's fantastic.
It was really fun.
That is a classic. But
it's long.
Long as fuck. Didn't we watch it together, Jose? Yeah, and we were like, oh my God, this is a long movie.
We thinking it was going to end and we're just like, oh, it's still going. Oh my God.
It does have one of like the hypest vampire reveals in like cinema. Like, that's the one where the girl is dancing with Dracula, and they're doing the waltz, and he does the thing where he, like, bends her over, and you look into the mirror, and no one's there, because you can't see vampires in a mirror, and that blew my 15-year-old mind.
Well, I kept thinking for Nosferatu that they were going to reveal him in some weird form, and that was going to be the big thing. He never does, and he's just, like, for lack of a better description, he is a literal walking corpse. Like, there's nothing special about him. He has pointy nails because he doesn't cut them, obviously, because he's a fucking corpse. And he can use his shadow to interact with stuff, and that's about it. Like, that's it. And then
he taught Shikamaru how to do it.
Spoiler alert, when he dies at the end of the movie, you see his legs, you see his full form, and he looks the most stupid thing I've ever fucking seen. His little chicken legs. Like, they look.
It was just interesting. Because I remember Bridie walked out, and she's like, it was interesting.
That means it was horrible, and she just didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
She just was like, it's all right.
I'm never like that. When I walk out of a movie and I hate it, I let people know.
it was bad, Pythies. Don't watch it. Also, it was like 2.5 hours long. So
it was long.
So in summary, watch the original Nosferatu. It is out of copyright. You can watch it for free on YouTube, and it's really good, actually.
Or watch the Hash Slinging Slasher episode of SpongeBob.
That's
and
true.
Get your Nosferatu fix, and then you're good.
So to go back to, was it Sam or Jose's question of my favorite wrap-up episode in an anime? So you're not going to get this, but it is the final episode of Unlimited Blade Works where they're in London. And you get to see a really crazily well-animated German suplex.
Favorite recap episode or favorite recap moment, the last of the Christopher Nolan Batmans when Alfred is in Paris. He's eating. And he looks over.
Oh, I hated that part so much.
Why?
They're like, oh yeah, he escaped an explosion and then goes to Paris to not talk to Alfred, just sit there and like tip his wine glass, like, oh hey, I'm alive. I'm so mad.
That's all Alfred ever wanted was for him to live a happy, normal life. Pythies.
Yeah, he lived his life and has children with Selina Kyle.
I did not like that third Batman movie anyway.
All right. Well, Pythie's horrible taste. Bleach Size of Over Part 3, IMDb. It finished with an average 9.3. Lowest rated episode was two of our three's favorite episode. My personal favorite episode was a 9.6, by the way, which is the friend episode with Basby and Ugrim. The second lowest episode is 9.1. Isn't that really good?
Damn.
And that is the first episode. Which I feel like rightfully so. That would
partially
be,
recap.
Yeah.
It's 7 minutes of recap. Can you blame him?
Yeah.
And I love that episode.
Do you guys know what the highest rated episode is for the season?
It's got to be that Mayuri one, right? People love that Mayuri episode.
It's like making me cry.
No, wait. Was it the first Shunsui episode?
So.
It's Renji.
It was the first Shunsui episode with the Shunsui Bankai reveal. Good recovery, Pythies. I thought you were going to send it with the Mayuri, but no, it's the Shunsui Bankai reveal. Got the highest 9.8 out of 10.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Good. That's my goat right there.
Lots of ties. Well, not lots. I say two ties for 9.6, with the penultimate episode getting a 9.6 as well. And then obviously the Basby versus Ugrim being a 9.6. There is two that were tied for 9.5, and that is the conclusion to Mayuri versus Pranita, because we all love to see Namu die.
No.
The first initial return of Aizen, episode 5, 9.5 as well. And then the finale of Shunsui versus Li Jiabara with Nanao is a 9.5 as well.
Okay, so I want to make an addendum to my favorite episode, because I got the numbers mixed up. It is 5. Ah. I said 6, but it's 5 because that's the Aizen episode.
It is the Aizen episode, yes.
It's also the one where Aizen gets taken out by like the lamest Stern Ritter in the world, and I find that so funny. Yeah. That's so funny.
So all good ratings across the board. I think about what we expected.
Yeah,
I think we were very impressed every single episode. And there is definitely a trend where as we got to the later parts, the scores did get better, you know, with obviously episode 9 kicking off Shunsui versus Li Jiabara. And then it goes 9.8 with episode 9, 9.5, 9.5, 9.6, 9.6. And then the final episode of the season getting a 9.3. So really, really good scores.
Because that's the edging episode, and if you can't finish, what's the point?
So, I mean, I would agree with probably most of these ratings. I obviously would have given a 9 also to episode 6. I don't think I would have rated that below a 9 just because that speech was glorious, and Maki Maki, my man, was in it.
Made a comeback. Everyone thought he was dead.
But, I'm really interested to see what the scores will be like for Thousand Blood Part 4. Obviously, I think one of the highest rated episodes for Part 4 is going to be the moment everybody's been waiting for, the return of Robert Accutrone, Part 4. I think that's going to go right up there.
Very true.
As an anime original, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be lovely. It'll probably beat Aizen versus Yuha Baha. I think that'll go right above that. So
it's going to beat Aizen versus Yuha. It will not, I guarantee it's not going to beat Komamura versus Yuha.
I would say that ranking is probably correct. Those would be the top three episodes of Thousand Blower Part 4, I think, pretty easy.
Komamura's going to do a lot of damage.
Yeah, Komamura, once he starts grabbing his own Zanpakuto in his mouth and kind of really going crazy, I think he would be pretty good. Last week, I did ask for a bunch of opinions on the finale and what people thought of Thousand Blower as a whole, what they thought of Part 3 versus the previous parts. I did collect some of them, so I have a whole bunch of responses that we missed last week.
So, before you get to that, I actually asked a couple people on my own for their opinions.
Okay.
Let's hit it. What guest speakers did you bring us today?
So, I spoke to my real-life friend that you may or may not remember his name, Reaper Z.
Yep, I remember Reaper Z, edgy.
And he said he liked a lot of it, but the thing he focused on was, and I'm going to read this word for word what he wrote to me. Orihime in that running scene, wowee.
I mean, the physics were there.
And I asked a former member of the podcast, Josh, what he thought.
Okay.
And he said it was just straight gas and peak anime all the way through.
Okay. Yep. Agreed.
And I asked our boy Gabe.
Yep. I thought he was going to be the first one you were going to say. So you threw me off when you said Reaper Z. Go ahead.
Well, he asked us if we answered his question from last week. And I said, oh, dude, we answered that on the Patreon part. And that killed him.
Oh.
And then he had a thought, because Basby brought a thought to his mind. And I'm like, okay, I'll say it right here. Basby can make his Quincy bow into a crossbow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that made him think, okay, so if you can change the way your bow looks like, why did BG9, a robot, not make a Reishi a Gatling gun instead of one that could be broken by soy foam.
That's very true.
True.
Now, my answer to that is because Akuba wanted to draw a cool scene where soy foam ripped a minigun in half.
I was just thinking how I would do dual-wielding rocket launchers at a Reishi.
Nice. That's, just I'm RPGs.
I'm going to say my catchphrase at this point, that's too cool to be real.
Yeah, and it just, I want it to be like, you know how they do airsoft grenades where it's filled with pellets when you throw the grenade?
Oh my god,
like
you just
that,
to
when it
like
explodes,
that.
It'll go shrapnel
blast.
All over, just everywhere.
Sam, you're wrong. It doesn't explode with shrapnel. You know what it explodes with.
With poison gas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, great. Everybody dodges like it's going to explode and it just comes out with gas everywhere.
And Gabe's final comment was Yudawichi.
Of course.
I asked, did you want to add more? And he said, I probably should. And and those are the Pythies comments from his friends. So Sam, please read some fire comments from people. And one of whom will probably mention Orihime.
So actually I have a question for us all from Marcena Day in the Discord, who we answered one of her questions last time. Mary versus Askin, who do we think we would win?
Ooh.
Mary. Askin know
I
that.
I don't know about that.
I was going to say, Askin has full control and understanding of his abilities. Mayuri might take a while for that.
It would kind of be like, who would win in a competition like this never-ending adapting person or the person who could constantly make new things? You know, who would eventually wear the other person down? And I would assume it would be Askin. Askin would win because he can just constantly lower the lethal dose until Mayuri's just out, which I feel like we saw Mayuri run out against Pernita. Until he sacrificed, not sacrificed, but until Nemu got eaten.
Pernita was like harming him physically. If Askin is just shooting poison, remember in Core 2, Askin walked away from that fight with Mayuri because he's like, this is the guy that could counter me.
No. You didn't say this is the guy that's countering me. He's like, this would be too much trouble, and then left.
Yeah.
Which that is key to Askin's character where he's like, nope, not interested.
He's like, I
not
don't want
gonna
this
do
guy.
This one. Where he could. Like, same thing with, you know, the fighting against, let's go back to the Club Outside question, of Aizen versus Stark, right? It was asked in the Club Outside question, why didn't was Aizen aware of Stark from the very beginning? Why didn't Aizen go collect Stark right away? And it was like, it's not that, like, he couldn't have gone and got Stark in his original form where he is this super strong being. It just would be too much of a hassle. Not interested.
I feel like Mayuri is the kind of guy, you give him any kind of prep time, he'll take it.
Yeah, I think if we went like this where Mayuri saw... Let's say somehow in this imaginary situation, Mayuri saw Askin fight Squad Zero and saw how his abilities work and how he was able to adapt and change things. Then no doubt in my mind, Mayuri would show up ready and good to go. But if Mayuri ran into him off the rip, similar to what happened with Pernita, which, by the way, Nemu said that he did not come nearly as prepared as he normally does because he forgot a whole bunch of shit.
He forgot his medicine, which is crazy.
Yeah, Mayuri's getting dog walked. And I say this as somebody who loves Mayuri. I think Mayuri's awesome and he is like this Batman-esque counterpart person, but also that is Urahara's war potential, right? It's this never-ending changing thing. So I think, judging by how we saw even how difficult it was for Urahara, I think Mayuri's getting roasted here.
I don't think so, but I'll go with your answer. Jose, what do you say?
You don't gotta agree with me. I'm just giving an opinion.
With Sam's answer, to be honest, it's just like, I love Mayuri, but I don't think he'll beat Askin in the first meet, like,
Now, if they had a first fight and Mayuri sludged away like he did against Udyu, and then Mayuri re-showed up, no doubt in my mind Mayuri would take it.
People keep forgetting that he just got washed by Udyu.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's what I kind of think would happen against Askin.
I don't think he'd die, but I think he'd definitely be beaten.
He would not have a good time.
But then again, I think it's very hard to find a very good matchup for Askin, who you would need to... And it would need to be Byakuya double tapping him like he did to Gerard, and then he'd be fine.
How would Mayuri do against like Lilibaro?
Well, it's hard because Li Jiabaro, you got to break down like what exactly his abilities are, which he is also this kind of unkillable godlike ability. And he only really got defeated by the ultimate god reflecting sword. His scale of attacks are crazy.
I mean, just destroying every single thing with an attack.
The ultimate trumpet.
Yes. And ultimately, you could even say that not even Shunsui and Nanao were capable of killing him because he rained down to the Soul Society and he still survived. He basically Mayuri'd it. He sludged away down to the Soul Society.
Luckily for Soul Society, we had a man with a giant hole in his chest who's like, I will solve the problem.
Who has probably, I'm just going to say canonically, one of the most broken Shikais in all of existence.
It's so good.
Oh, so, it's so cool.
Luckily, they have Shikai Man down there to go ahead and take care of him.
Just immediately starts bashing away.
Like, it's not a flashy power.
It's just
but
good.
My God, that is a broken ability.
It'd be so fun.
So, so you said the word Shikai, and that just triggered my fucking mind. I'm going to go off on a tangent. I keep getting, like, on my For You page on TikTok, like, little clips of Bleach. And one was Momo Zanpakuto just absolutely talking mad shit to her about how being in love with Aizen is stupid. And it's like, I get a new clip of that every day, and it's killing me. It's so funny.
I get these ones that are so clearly created by bots, and I'm not talking about the classic AI, like, talk to me things that we've already discussed about on a podcast, but, like, it'll be like, your month, your Shinigami. And then it'll be going through, and it's like, oh, can't wait to see what my month is. Like, I can't wait to see who I'm going to get. And I'll go to, like, my month, which is April. And it'll be Orihime. Be like, where did I go wrong? Like, it's not even a Shinigami. Like, why is Orihime in there? Like, that's crazy. And it's like, that's not even like, oh, they maybe just misread it. There's not a chance in hell that you think that.
Hey, man, shout outs to the one I got yesterday, which was your month, your Bankai, because I got Tensei's on Getsu. Shout outs to March.
Nice.
So I sometimes get a lot of them, and when they're good, I send them to you guys.
Oh, that's when you send them?
Yeah, when they're good, I weed out the garbage, and there's a lot of garbage. It just, like, it's crazy.
One of them was like, I think Sam, your month was like Toshiro's, and I was like, I can't send that to Sam. That's mean.
He's going to be upset.
Have a mental breakdown.
Send it to Kage instead.
Another one talking about the finale from Ponquest in our Discord as well. He wants to know if we were disappointed that Don Kanoji didn't make his coveted arrival this season.
He has to come back.
Oh my God.
He comes back the final episode of the next core to save the day.
Well, you know, like in Thousand Blood and Blood Lore Part 4, I guess in the manga is what I'm going to go off here. There's a part where everybody has seemingly lost to Asken, and who is it that dives in is Nell. Nell dives in to save everybody. She's been waiting off screen somewhere, having a blast, having a tea party. Nell jumps in, also gets poisoned. What an idiot. Shouldn't have done in there. What are you going to do? You know who comes roaring in a pink Lamborghini? Don Kanoji with a
Kanoji
gas mask on. Throws everybody into the pink Lambo and drives off and saves everybody.
And he used a spirit bomb thingy that goes so slow, so Asken wasn't paying attention to it.
Yes,
and then
yes.
That's what kills him.
Perfect.
I was on board with you until you said get them all out. My brain says he puts them in the car, then revs the engine like crazy and runs Asken over like his GTA.
yeah. Or he also goes in, he thought he was gonna have a cool moment, he also passes out after getting everybody in the car because he didn't bring a gas mask, but luckily he puts his foot down on the gas and everybody goes off knocked out.
Just going straight
and
forward.
He gets them just enough out of the gas cloud where he's good to go.
He gets them out of the gas cloud, they all fall out of the car, the car keeps going, he's passed out, he falls off the edge through a Garganta, lands back in the world of the living, doesn't know any of this happens when he wakes up.
Yeah. And everybody's just like, who is that strange man that rescued us? We'll
that
never know.
Lamborghini. Oh my God.
And then the half burned skeleton of Robert Acutrone says, a hero.
Yeah.
He and just left the license plate that said, wahaha.
Oh, yeah. There you go. This is the only thing we have to remember him by.
Oh, that's a great club outside question we need to ask Kubo. Does Kazui watch Don Kanoji?
Oh.
If he's not into it, we throw the kid in the garbage and Ichigo and Orihime got to try again.
So moving on now to the actual comments from the post where you're asking about what everybody thought about Thousand Blood Part 3. And I thought this was a great idea. Ryuga 1908 says, asking post-ending scene would have been funnier if Grimmjow appeared behind him at the last seconds.
Oh.
That's a spoiler, though. It can't happen.
Yeah.
Okay. True. Would have been funny, though. But, and I mean, they don't shy away from no spoilers, as we saw with that Thousand Blower Part 4 trailer.
Jesus, yeah.
The trailer with just that sword, and that spoiled everything.
I knew it. The minute I saw it continue, I was like, oh.
But also, you could have really, like, no, if Grimmjow appeared behind him and, like, the screen went to, like, the static, you wouldn't have known. You could play that
That's
off.
True.
Until, of course, that happens in the anime, and then I think I would have been retroactively a little salty if I didn't know. It's like,
just
those fucking,
like,
bitches.
Damn it.
I was watching a video by, I forget someone, they were reacting to, like, to Core 3. And they're like, they always skip the intro because the intros always have spoilers. And he goes, the first episode I decide to watch the spoiler is the one when I now uses the sword.
no.
That's why I used to be that same person back in the day. I used to always, anytime I would always wait for animes to be done, I would then marathon the anime, and I would wait until the opening song changed, and then I would go back and watch the previous opening. So in the case that the anime was on its last season, I would wait till the last episode to watch it, and then I would watch the opening. That way I can avoid all the spoilers, because the spoilers are fucking bad in some of the anime openings. It's really, really bad.
Do you remember in like the Dragon Ball Z openings where Goku would turn Super Saiyan before anybody knew what the fuck a Super Saiyan was?
Yeah, that's when we had that sick ass intro, right? With the guitars?
Yeah, Rock the Dragon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then why is Goku gold? Oh, you'll find out in 30 episodes.
Oh, yeah. Did you see they added Udyu to the little key visual that they released before Core 3 came out, where it's all of them standing and it's Ichigo, and they added Udyu to it at the very end? No, I was like, oh, I didn't even notice. Like, that's so nice.
He's back.
They released it on Twitter. Viz Media put it out.
I was so happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really cool. Viz Media, to their credit, shout out Viz Media, has done a very good job with Azabu War Part 3, promoting it and putting out videos. And they've been releasing stuff every week. There's been clips of the English voice actors talking about it and doing like little funny games and pushing. They've been putting up clips. I think this is the Japanese studio that's been doing it. But the Bleach Animation TikTok has been constantly putting up clips from the episodes as well. They've been doing such a good job with Azabu War Part 3. I don't know what changed. Because part two, they got a lot of flack for not doing a good job promoting Bleach. They knocked out of the fucking park with Eisenbubber part three.
So do you think we can expect a huge thing at AX?
Oh, I hope so, Jose. We got scammed last time. New York Comic Con had way better stuff than we did, so I hope so.
Sam, are you going to sit in line for 1,000 years to get a pack of cards again?
Honestly, after my experience last time, probably fucking not. So
you wait. Sam's going to be like, I got scammed again.
Nope. I would learn my lesson, boys. The next comment from Aaron France 25 on YouTube. He says that Yodowichi stole the show every scene she was in, and she's got plenty more for Core 4, so they can't wait. And he says that he's curious if and how they'll put Gerard and Rangiku together, which I think they will, based off of the scene that we got of... Because they showed it. It would be one thing if they just showed Rangiku and Hanataro running by and they react to it and they move on. But they cut back to Rangiku by herself staring at Gerard. I think they're going to piece them together, or she's going to make some sort of a comment. I would not be surprised if she maybe makes the note to Hitsugaya, like, oh, like he has some relation to Soul King. Like, there's something about him.
Do you remember the fight that Basby had with Toshiro in Core 2?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Toshiro and Rangiku, they worked together. They had this whole double team thing where he, like, makes ice around her ash. I hope they do that against Gerard, just because, like, why only use that cool thing once?
Yeah, and that's a good time for her to be introduced as well, as she also is one of the characters that gets forgotten. So it would be cool for her to fight or be part of an interaction with somebody else that also has a part of the Soul King within them. I think that would be very cool and something that we've not really seen.
Oh, man. Next Corps, I'm so excited. Why can't it be out now?
So it continue on. Aaron France has more to say here. He says, I swear the visor's got to do some damage before getting washed in Core 4, which I think we all agree. Yeah, we're all really hoping for that.
Absolutely.
And he says, the teaser for the final core better be a hint towards Ichigo's Bankai and getting more of that display, which is another thing that people are really hoping for.
I believe he is absolutely right. The visors are going to get washed, no question. But, like, they'll probably be really cool. I say they last like an episode before they get rocked.
Hopefully, because they got the time to kill, as we talked about last time.
They'll probably have like a really good showing, and then the next episode will be like they get washed.
Even if they go for half an episode and we get some really cool combo attacks, then I'm down. I love it.
Combos.
I'm still losing my mind over the cool ass like a Momo Shinji combo that happened.
Yep. Oh, that was badass.
Trampoline explosion into bullets.
I saw a photo that puts Shinji into only one of four people that have canonically been shown they could do a Hado 90, which I believe is Urahara, Yamamoto, Shinji,
and
Aizen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, what a crew to be a part of, right? Like, that's a steady crew. Baby.
Why do I like Shinji so much when he just takes off the captain's coat and has a vest?
Because it looks sick.
Hey, it looks really fucking cool.
Man, so I'm like a visored hater. I like some of the members, but as a group, I'm just not into them. But like when they all posed up in the uniforms with the masks on, I was marking out.
And then one last bit from Aaron France. Now, this is going to be controversial. He says, glad Lee J. Birds and Kira showed up. didn't and didn't rant like he did in the manga about sinners.
I read that comment and I thought Sam was going to go so mad.
I just think I'm going to go back to, so I actually have a clip, which I don't know if I'll put this up. If it comes, you might have seen the clip before this podcast, so we'll talk about it. I have a clip queued up of us talking about that scene from last episode. And it is like probably a minute of me just bitching about how much I don't like that scene. Might not come out because it's pretty fucking negative. I just, to further explain, I like the context we got in the manga. Now, obviously, it could be worded differently. I don't give a fuck about the speech that he gives about sinners and losing his godly powers. Don't care. I like the context that comes with it. One, that he is Li Jiabao. That is him. He was defeated by Nanao and Shunsui, and he got sent down. He lost his godly abilities. He is a weaker version of the Li Jiabao. So Nanao and Shunsui did a lot of work on the upper Varvelt side, and he is a spiteful motherfucker and wants to now kill everybody that Shunsui Kiraku holds dear because they stole his godly powers from him. That's the part that I like. You know, it doesn't have to be worded that exact way, but I just wish they gave more context.
Okay, so I have two questions about that. One is a thought that I saw a lot of comments going, yeah, they'll probably do the whole scene like next core. Like, this was just a teaser. People were mad they didn't get to see Kira at the end of that episode like they wanted, so he's here now. Another one is, for a lot of the ranty shorts you put out, did you include Jose or I's counterpoint at all?
Yours is in there, Pythes. I put yours in there. Well, yours was really more like, it did look very cinematic when the lights are coming down. But you also were negative, Pythes.
Mm-hmm.
In that clip is me, because normally here's how the clips go. Normally I say something really negative and Pythi goes, well, you know, it wasn't that bad. You know, it's
so
good.
You didn't want to double
and
down.
And Jose will go
negative.
Like, yeah, I agree. You know, and in this one, Pythi's was the lights in the dark looked really good, but that scene was a huge miss. I can't believe they adapted that.
Fire.
And then, of course, at the very end, it goes, you know, this would be a good spot for my uncle to make an appearance.
Yeah.
But, like, both of us were negative in that clip.
Okay, that's because, like, you put out the clip today about the chips missing from that scene. And I was like,
yeah.
Didn't I point out that they just could do that later?
I went and I edited that one. I was like, okay, you know, doing this. The only thing that says, like, they could go back to it. But I like that should have been shown before the Isshin and the Ryuken appearance. That would have worked so much better with that line from Ryuken.
I hope that he has a better explanation for it, because I think the chips are really stupid.
Well, I like the idea, and maybe this is stupid because we have seen that obviously you can make your way down from the Soul Palace with being covered in the Oken, you know, pieces of the Oken, to make your way down, like we saw Ichigo do it. But I like that there is this steadfast idea that you cannot survive a fall from the Varvelt. Like, you cannot survive, which also, now that I'm thinking about it, fucking Li Jiabao survives a fall from the Varvelt.
But he's a Birdman. He's a crazy bird.
And he also comes down, in like forms of light, right? So maybe that's the explanation. It really just fumbled my whole story I was going to tell here. But I like that multiple people keep talking about how you don't want to fall. Like, that is like a thing that is said over and over again. Don't fall, you'll die. Even Ichibei, when he was fighting Yuhabaha, tried to shoot him down because it's death. It's just game over falling from that height. And I like that.
It's the kill
I
zone.
Like this idea of...
It's the kill zone. In Smash Bros.
How long would it take Ichigo to reach Soul Society from the top?
It need take him like 4 hours.
Yeah, right? But they like told that. Him it was going to take longer. I don't remember what they told
Ichigo
him.
And Ichigo was just like, oh, I'll make it faster.
Yeah, he hauled ass.
You know, because he's him.
But And I like that also leads into this idea of the chips, no matter how lame you think the chips are. I like that it comes back again to where even Uryu is like, nobody survives. Nobody survives falling from the Royal Palace. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fucking blast the whole thing down. I'm going to destroy all of the pieces they can stand on and just fucking shoot them down. And they've already made it where it's like, oh, like nobody can walk now. Like, there's too much reishi here. I'm just going to shoot everybody fucking down to the ground. I like that. I like that that's a thing. And I like the idea of... Soken fucking stole the chips and then he's now reusing
his sneaky fingers.
I like that plays in to, like, you know, Ryuken being like, my fucking dad having his goddamn sticky fingers. It's great. I like that correlation, and I wish they would have said it. I don't give a fuck if they're gonna go back and do it later. It would have worked better.
I feel like it's a mystery. Like, after the fight, Ichigo goes, so what was your plan? He's like, okay, so I had this was my plan. And then it cuts to Ryuken like, I see. This is one of the things that he put around.
Yeah, the only way I can see that happening is if, like, I don't know, mid-fight with Yugram, Udi's like, it's too fucking bad. I'm going to blow the whole thing down, and like presses the button, and then he's like, it doesn't work. And it's like, oh, yeah, I got rid of those also. Which is not nearly as cool as Yugram walking down the stairs and be like, sup, bitch, I got all these chips, and then just fucking throws them
at him.
It is hilarious during that scene where he has Udi with dead trites, and Udi's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's all I was saying. I think it just works better in that one where it's just another accusation that Yugram is throwing at Udi, and Udi is still like, that could be anybody.
Not me, man. Mm-hmm. Gaslighting like crazy. Yeah. I do love that because when you posted that, everyone in the comments was like, God damn, he's just gaslighting like crazy.
Yeah, I saw a lot of those comments like, damn, next level gaslighter.
I was like, damn.
Like, yeah. Which is true. Udi was like, no, not me.
Couldn't be me, guys. I don't know who did that.
I'm so happy for Yugram in that scene because he's so happy he just gets to say it. Yuha's not here. None of the other royal guards are here. He's like, I got you. And Udi's just like, what you talk about? I ain't do nothing.
Well, I just like this idea of that Udi in his mind, like he has this full, I don't know, this full sense of confidence that he knows Yuha Baha will protect him. Like, Uncle Yu or Papa Yuha Baha is like, no, like that's my successor.
That's the favorite son.
He can't do anything. He's good to go. Don't worry about him. And Yugram was like, no, that guy's a fucking traitor. And he is a traitor. But Yuha Baha's like, no, he's going to be my successor. It's going to be great. And then it's just this back and forth. But now the dad's asleep. And Yugram's like, yeah, I'm going to fuck this bitch. Like,
I mean, you know, little brother is only protected so long as dad's in the room. But when dad goes to take a nap, you know, with a cigarette in his mouth.
That's right.
He's like, I'm going to beat your ass.
A cigarette in his mouth.
And sometimes the clips, by the way, typically I try to keep them at a minute and a half because that's what works across all platforms. Which, by the way, YouTube just updated their things. It could be 3 minutes long now.
Oh, wow. Didn't
which is
that.
Crazy. But Instagram is still 90 seconds.
Okay,
and so is
sense.
Facebook.
But
and
I still feel like if we go to like a 3-minute post or something
3 minute
that.
Is good, but the problem that I run into, what I have tried to do before, if we have, because there are sometimes that we are yappers, we talk for a really long time. That was one of them that we were talking. I think the initial clip was 5 minutes long and I cut it down to a minute and 28 seconds. If I do it longer than that, I can obviously choose the stopping point on the clip, but sometimes it's awkwardly in the middle of a sentence, so then I cut out a lot of the stuff anyways when it comes out. So it just works better if I just cut it to.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as 1 day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Be a nice succinct 90 seconds.
As long as it's nice and round.
So unfortunately, sometimes Pythi's counterpoint gets kicked to the curb, so that way it just gets the here's what happened in the manga point across, and then it goes.
Ah, a little bit of the BTS.
Sam will ask me for like my opinion on, hey, what should I title this clip? And I go, oh, I remember that conversation, and I base it based on what I remember the conversation being. And then I watch the clip and I'm like, none of my points are in here. Why was I even asked?
So like yesterday I sent Pythies. I was like, hey, here's the clip. It's just going to be talking about the scene from the manga where the chips get removed. And your titles were good. They were super ambiguous though. And then I was like, I'm just going to be really, which I thought the title was good. How was Udi originally planning to destroy, or how is Udi going to destroy Yuha Baha and the Varvel? But yeah, I don't give Pythies the actual clip before I upload it, which maybe going forward would be a good idea.
Maybe give me the clip, because usually I'm at work and I'm like, okay, I'll watch this on my break. But I was like, oh yeah, didn't I have some counterpoints to like, oh yeah, well maybe he's gonna do it later. So I was like, what were my ideas, like the major changes to this Bleach plot point?
Yeah, it was very clickbaity.
That's great clickbait. And then I'm like, he didn't use the title, also I'm not in here. Okay, I see. Yeah. How it be.
It's okay.
He's just using me for my brain. Yep. He pays me off with Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
I'm like Tokinata and you're Grimmie's brain. So.
Oh my god. He stole you.
Yeah. And I Jose is like...
Hey, I had the honor of being beaten by Kenpachi. I can't complain.
Who is Jose in this situation? Do you want to be Aura, Jose? Who do you want to be? Can I put you as Sinosuke?
Dude,
Hikone.
Anyone.
We'll put you as Hikone, Jose.
Okay.
Well, Grammy's brain is in Hikone. So yeah, I get to control
you guys
Jose.
Are one.
Oh my god.
You guys have merged into one like Venom.
Hey,
so.
We're gonna have fun with Iko Miko Domoe.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Next comment from FH Denno on also YouTube as well. He says, fantastic finale. He says, finally Kubo shows some love for the Visors. Hopefully we get to see a few new Bankai reveals in the final core for Love, Lisa, and the others. I don't think so. I don't think we'll get to see that. I would be shocked if they steal any of that content away from the Hell Arc, especially with some of those people becoming captains.
What's like, if they do show off their Bankais and then just get whomped immediately?
Yeah, I think this goes back to the Time Old classic tale that we were talking about, and we actually mentioned this in the talk about Izuru's scene, and about how people are happy that it got adapted, but it didn't get adapted to its full capability because they kind of just threw it in there. Mm-hmm. I would say let's take Lisa for an example. Let's say you're a true Lisa fan. You've been wanting to see a Lisa Bankai reveal because she has a really cool sword. Her sword's really cool, which is like the spear. It's awesome. I think if I was a fan of Lisa, I would want it to be revealed in the Hell Arc when it has some relevance to the story, right? Where it's going to probably defeat somebody in the Hell Arc. It's going to be a key moment that happens. If it happens here, I'll tell you what, they're not defeating Gerard. It's not going to happen. So I don't think you would want that here. Would it be cool? Sure. Yeah. But I don't think you would want it here. I think you would want a better opportunity later.
What if she like beats one of the original Gotei 13 members with it?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be sick.
Yeah. That's a great moment. That's an easy low hanging fruit for something that Lisa could do, especially if she's one of the people that becomes captain, right? Mm-hmm. I think save it for the Hell Arc.
Who is a fan of Lisa?
Well, I'm just so throwing out a hypothetical Pythes. No need to shit on the people.
I mean, she's someone's waifu.
The only thing I care about Lisa did is she had that really cool like double snake skin in BBS. I like that.
That was
unit.
A cool skin.
She's cool.
That unit's really fun.
That unit's really cool. I can't
Spirit
think
Society.
Of any. Yeah, Spirit Society. Oh man, they need to put out more of them.
She has that ability to freeze, right?
With yep. One of them and flame. She does both. I think
that's the one where like Shinji was a dragon. And Grimmjow was like an evil cat. And Rangiku had like half her face with a skeleton, meaning they already have a model they could use to put Robert Acutron accurately in BBS.
There we go.
So speaking of, FH Denno continues on, still no mention of Robert crying face.
Hell
he
yeah.
says, Bleach is about to end for good and the poor guy's shrift and fate are still a mystery. He says, I'd rather have him back to fight Chad and Ganju instead of those lame statues we saw in the manga.
That's awesome. I'd love that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something I think we've talked about many times, or how much we would all love that to be the case.
That'd be so
now,
fun.
Now, it could still be a cool hybrid situation where you introduce Robert and the stone statues. That way you're really getting the best of both worlds, where it's still the manga continuity with additional new anime scenes with new bad guys. That way it gives a little bit more emphasis on the fight with Chad and Ganju. That way they're fighting a bit more actual people. That would be cool still.
I would love for Chad and Ganju to get like a Jujutsu Kaisen team-up moment.
Okay, and then he asks, what do we think about the Ukitake situation? And then he goes on to say, I know his VA said that his dream was to say Bankai or something like that, but I highly doubt we will see him say it.
Nope.
Because in my opinion, Kubo is saving it for the Hell Arc. He says, my theory is they will let Ukitake hang on for a little longer just so he can get a farewell at the end of Core 4 alongside Yama and Unohana.
Yeah.
Well, we already got the goodbye for Yama, didn't we? That's already in the books.
But we've been saying that they're probably going to save a special scene for him.
Yeah.
Like a nice departure to Rukia would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think a nice little end, you know, cherry on the top ending where he collapses and everybody comes down and, you know, maybe Shunsui's holding him and, you know, says, oh, like, thank you so much, and then he moves on. But he's clearly doing something with Mimihagi still, which is why they kept showing him in this last episode like 3 or 4 times. So it's really up in the air, and it's very hard to guess what they're going to do with him. I have no idea.
That's true. We're going to get hit with the Shunsui being like, it's okay now. You can rest.
Oh,
yeah. His eyes, just like Iron Man.
I don't think we're going to get, like, a goodbye scene where he says goodbye, but I think, like, well, they'll get a scene where he is at rest, and you see that he's dead, and he has a smile on his face, and Shunsui's like, you can finally sleep. I'm just glad we got more Ukitake. Even if he is just shooting out black goo, I'm just happy he's in there.
Oh, my God, he's just wriggling around.
It makes me uncomfortable when I look at it.
All right, are you guys ready for some hot takes?
Hot takes.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
Here we go. Sage Eisen 6837 says that he thinks Core 3 is better than Core 1, which is something that you said, Pythes.
I agree.
But Core 1 had the better finale.
I don't agree with that.
Which is something that you said last episode you didn't agree with, Pythie. You were shitting all over the sword as me.
I didn't shit on it. I just said I don't like it as much.
I just don't know how you can even say that. So just everything but the rain into the sword as me is fucking great.
It's so good.
It was really good, but I was like, yeah, but I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but that shouldn't take away from your enjoyment of it.
I was there.
You were there? You were there in the forge, Pythies?
It was me.
He was getting his swords ready. We see little Pythies in the background.
Pythies just in the background be like, yeah, that's right.
You know what? I guess what hurt it is that the whole time I was watching him forge and watching it, I was like looking in the background waiting to see if there's a lone sword called Ikemiko. The whole time just like, is it going to be a camp for your lone reference? Am I gonna see Tokinata sneak in?
Pythies has his face up against the TV foaming at the mouth. Where is it to me?
I was abnormally close to the screen scanning it like, oh my god, is I going to I didn't see anything, but not for lack of trying.
I still think Core 1 is the best one. I don't agree with that, but you know, I do agree the Core 1 had a great finale. So
Core
I don't
one
think
had a fantastic
can
finale.
Argue with that.
I like the sword is me kind of thing.
Yeah, it's great.
Or the blade is me.
Capitalism 7189, which you know is going to be a hot take coming from.
I love the name.
His name is what?
Capitalism 7189. He says, really hot take, but I didn't like this core that much. It was hard carried by Basby versus Ugrim, Shunsui versus Lee J, and Mayuri versus Pranita. Though to be fair, my opinion usually changes when I watch everything back to back instead of waiting week to week with each episode.
I mean, I've said it. Like,
I understand that.
If you watch it all at once, it's kind of like watching a nice movie.
I do like, though, that he gives a really hot take and then he immediately backtracks saying, like, that's not my final opinion.
But let me tell you when I watch the
it's
whole
great,
thing all at once.
It's a great defense. I'm going to drop my hot take and then I'm going to tell you that actually this is not really my hot take and I'm just saying that just so that way I don't get screamed at.
I actually agree. No, because when I first read Thousand Year Blood War week to week, I hated on it. I hated the whole time. I was like, this fight sucks. I hate what they did this. You know, Kenpachi Shikai was underwhelming. I hate it. And then, you know, after it was all done, I came back a year later, reread the whole thing, went, this is gas, this is the best, I'm so happy with it. Because week to week, it sucks to wait.
Now, I thought you were agreeing with the fact that it was hard carried by Basby versus Ugrim, Shunsui versus Lee J, and Miri versus Pranita.
No, it was hard carried by the whole thing. The whole thing is great.
Okay, yeah, okay, got it. I agree with everything you said. Because that's why in high school, I used to watch everything when it was done. Because it is such... Now, there is stuff that I think watching it week to week is an incredible experience. One of those being Attack on Titan.
That's true, because it does give you, like, nice cliffhangers and a reason for you to want to
I
see
think
more.
Attack on Titan, watching it week to week, was an incredible experience. I think you could also make an argument with a lot of... if it is a show that cliffhangers do it well, right? I would imagine that would have been the same thing with something like a Death Note. Would have been really cool to watch week to week as it was airing. That would have been really, really cool.
I was so upset.
That's how when Death Note came on TV, my sister and I would be watching it week to week, and then we'd talk about what happened and what could happen next and how's Light going to get out of this one, and then we'd see the conclusion next week, and it was always crazy.
Another great example of that is Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I think Game of Thrones
is the iconic one for that, where that's one of the best viewing experiences you could have is watching that week to week.
Oh my god!
Going to work and everybody talking
the
about it.
Wedding. Everybody was just like, "Did you see?"
Yeah, that's also really
Sam,
cool.
That song plays at your wedding.
So I think there is a lot to be said about that, but I do think the prime viewing experience is to watch it. You know, back to back to back to back, where you can get that full experience.
And that's I could give another example. Like I always talk about how much I love reading the manga Claymore. Claymore sucked because it was a monthly. So you'd wait a month, you get 19 pages, and you go, this is it? Why do I even care? And then, you know.
Wait, it was only 19 pages for the month?
Sometimes it'd be 30, sometimes it'd be 19. I'd be like, why do I even bother? Then, you know, I'd buy the volume and be like, oh, this flows together so well. So if he doesn't really like it week to week, I'm like, I can't blame you. I was just excited to see Bleach, so I was down for whatever. But yeah, I get it. I absolutely get it.
Next one, he goes, Christopher Cervantes 9315. He gives his ranking of all the seasons. Ready? He goes, Core 1 is on the top, Core 3, and then Core 2. He says, this season put to bed me missing the old animation style with the current one going forward. And it says, I do wonder if Camp Fear and World will be added to the canon after the final season. What do you guys expect of new story elements being added in Core 4 besides new fights? Also, I wonder if the ending will be exactly one-to-one in the manga or Kubo will add new elements to it. He says, sorry for the long response. Bleach is fire. So his questions are, do we think Camp Fear and World will be added to canon after the final season? What do we expect of new elements being added to Core 4? And if the ending will be one-to-one for the manga?
Let's see. I hope Camp for Your Own Well gets added. I'm not going to say it will, but I want it to. They will for sure add new stuff. I already forgot the other two.
With the ending will be 1-to-1 to the manga.
No, I think it's going to add to it.
No.
There's no way it's going to be a 1-to-1.
Now let's break it down and go specifically the ending of Yuha-Baha versus Ichigo. Do you think it'll be 1-to-1?
No, they're going to add more.
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to make it more like dynamic.
Will we get the exact Kazui scene?
I think we might get the Kazui scene.
Yeah,
definitely.
we're going to
we're
get Kazui for sure.
Definitely going to get Mami Orihime.
Yeah, I would say the safe bet is, from what we have seen so far, I feel like, let's say we're at like a 95% success ratio on this. You are going to get pretty much every scene from the manga. It's going to happen. Now, will they fill in additional stuff in between that? Oh yeah, 100% they will. What that stuff will be, I have no fucking idea what it's going to be. It is so far up in the air. It could be anything with how few volumes we have left to adapt. I think we're at 2.5 volumes is what we have left. It could be anything. I think we are going to get the scenes as they play out in the manga, but it will be extended with more things shown, and it'll probably, I could see them having stuff after Ichigo defeats Yuha-Baha and it not going straight from that to Kazui like it did in the manga, right? It would they're going to put more stuff in there.
Yeah. Hopefully we get We Do Not Always Love You.
Oh, I would love that, Jose, so much.
That's a big ask, but it's one I want desperately.
And as for if Camp Fear and World will be added to canon after the final season,
God, I hope so.
I have two trains of thoughts on this. One, I feel like from everything that we have seen so far, I'm really leaning towards a no, that they're not going to adapt it, just with how they have adapted stuff from the novel already into the series. But somebody did point out that I think in the, is it the ending for season one where they're showing all the Zanpakutos? Tokunaga Zanpakuto is in that ending. Like, it
Oh,
is
is it?
one of the Zanpakuto that goes by.
Oh, I think it is.
It's 100% in there. We even pulled up like pictures of his Zanpakuto, and it is his Zanpakuto that is in there. I don't know. I don't know. I would love it. I love Camp Fear and World. I think it's a great fucking novel. I would scream if they made that fucking canon and that we got that for another season. It would be amazing. But it's too hard to tell.
The answer is we hope so, but probably not.
And next comment from Alex Clint. He says, not gonna lie, this core, as hot as it was, the finale was definitely underwhelming. In terms of the last three episodes, Friend was the best, and it wasn't even close. If we compare it to Everything But the Rain, Into the Blade Is Me from Core 1, and the showdown in the Royal Realm from Core 2, Core 3's conclusion easily comes in last place because it's less a finale and more of a really good one-off episode into two middle-of-the-road episodes for the season. And he says, parentheses, being generous.
Nice.
That basically just set up the next season without really accomplishing or showcasing much else. The changes compared to the manga in the first half of the season were amazing, but despite playing with the chronology, the second half played it fairly straight, albeit with sprinkles, and ended without much fanfare and with considerably less bombast than the previous core from a year earlier. By and large, I think this was easily the best season so far, with them putting 3 above 1 into 2, but the finale certainly isn't cementing its placement there.
Yes, fair. I appreciate how honest he was.
It's hard to come at somebody like that when I think if you gave that as a discussion topic where it's like, hey, here's my general thoughts, here's why, that's a very well thought out argument to exactly everything that happens. He came with the facts, he came with exactly what happened in season one, exactly what's coming in part two, why he liked those other ones more. And he brings up good points. And it is true that the first half of the season had crazy changes in it. Really, really crazy changes, really crazy additions. And then like for season two, like we were talking about when we were watching like Mayuri versus Bonita, it was almost 1-for-1.
Yeah.
Like
straight up.
That was the fight, aside from those additional, you know, sweet little Nemu flashbacks we got. But it was identical, and I think maybe they set themselves up for a little bit of failure with the first half being insane with the additions. Obviously, I'm thinking of Renji versus Udyu being really, really cool. And then it kind of went back on a track, and we got 1-to-1 for most of the end. So I think maybe it put too high expectations on the season three in the first half.
Yeah, I think I like that comment. I appreciate that you put your heart out there and you put your brain out there, and you were correct.
So, and I also like that, you know, like he says, he still thinks three is the best season, but it just the finale isn't cemented in there. Like that hasn't
yeah,
made it the greatest. Like it could change later.
I mean, I always say to truly love something, you have to acknowledge and accept and enjoy its flaws and not try to make up excuses. Says he likes it, he doesn't like how it ended. That's it. I think he's still a fan.
All right, last comment I have for you guys from Sakshambaha 2027. Even though I loved the finale, they left us with a cliffhanger instead of concluding any one fight. Also, I don't like the idea of three fights happening at the same time. It's too distracting. I think the Core 3 finale was just to build Core 4 hype, not to enhance Core 3. Still, I love this Core overall. In my opinion, more effort was put on hyping Core 4 instead of concluding major fights in Core 3.
I guess fair.
Yeah, and you can kind of make the argument. I guess that argument is correct when you think about that the only conclusion we got was Mira versus Bonita. Right? That was the only thing that concluded, because technically Li Jiabao is still alive. And we don't see what happens to Li Jiabao because it cuts away. We don't see what happens with Asken because it cuts away. We don't see what happens with Gerard because it cuts away. We don't see what happens with Yugram because it cuts away. We don't see what happens with Yuha-Baha because it cuts away.
I mean, you do see the Bambis die.
True.
Yeah, true.
You do get the conclusion of the Bambis, but we don't see what happens because it cuts away.
So, right away, too.
I get it. And I feel like, you know, okay, we did get the conclusion of Basby versus Yugram. We got that one. But I feel like the theme of the comments we have been getting is that the finale was just not great. And it's interesting that some people are comparing it to the Core 2 finale, because even with the Core 2 finale, people were a little upset over how it ended and cut away to the illustrated Soul Reaper guide. And we got Yuha-Baha falling and then nothing else. And that's where it ended. But I think people are thinking back to Core 2, where the last couple of episodes was this stellar, the Schutzstaffel versus Squad Zero. You know, and Senjimaru Bankai, which is something that we have been waiting for forever. And what a reveal for it to end on. It's crazy. We never seen Squad Zero actually do something before. And I just don't think they had a moment like that in this one, because I do think a lot of these comments ring true that they were focused on setting up Core 4, which is fine. It's the penultimate season, you know, it is the season before the finale. But yeah, I wish they would have had an actual ending as well.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Now, I will say, this could be fine if the final product altogether is really good. Like, if Core 3 going into Core 4 is just gas and it just continues the pace that we've gotten with the additions and all the cool stuff, and as a full finished package, it's just beautiful, hey, no problems. It's totally fine if there's not an end to Core 3, if it rolls right into Core 4 and it's just, boom, good to go. But if there's some sort of a disconnect that happens and we retread some of the ground and They gotta play it tight to the chest, but I think it's fine. I think the ending could have been better. I think the ending for Core 1, as I said last episode, was better. I don't know if I would say the ending for Core 2 was better.
Though. Like, I do think that Core 1 had the more complete ending.
But I think Core 1, right, there was a beautiful natural stoppage, right? That's just something that happened. They found that beautiful spot. Okay, we're going to go into invasion number 2 now. And then it was fine. Obviously, you're going to do the first invasion, Thousand Blood War Core 1, and then you're going to go to Core 2 and do the second invasion. But after Core 2, it is go, 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 go. And then even in Part 3, when they have a nice little breakage, when like, okay, now we got to go up to the Soul Palace. That's in the middle of the season. You know,
yeah,
that's
true.
They can't stop there. They're like, oh, let's take a quick little breather. Like, it's already wartime, you know? And I guess I want to talk on the comment where all three of the fights happening at the same time was too distracting. What did you guys think about that?
Nah, because didn't it used to do that in old Bleach?
It did that
too?
All the time.
Yeah, it did. And I think it was something that they had put a lot of emphasis on this time when we talked about the interview with the director, where he was talking about he purposely did that. So that way it's hopping all over the place. And it really feels like there is all of these things happening at the same time.
Oh, it happened in Fate Karakura Town, right?
Yeah, it hopped over
quite
and over.
Lot.
But I don't know. I mean, would the season have ran better if we got back-to-back? Let's just kick it back to these two fights. If we got Mayor versus Bernita back-to-back and then Shunsui versus Li Jiabao back-to-back?
I would have preferred that, because I think first half of the fight and then you stop and then you go to the first half of the other fight and you finish the first fight. In my notes, I wrote that down as one of the things I didn't like about this core, because I thought it kind of killed the momentum of both. I'd rather you mix and match the different parts from each episode instead of just one episode of this and then another episode of the other one. It just kind of felt weird.
Yeah, it didn't bother me just because it felt like old Bleach, but I will say I probably would have enjoyed it more if it was all back-to-back.
Okay, so yeah, we agree in a sense. There is something to be said to that, obviously, with changing the flow and things, how it goes. Maybe you could do the Jose cut and rearrange the episodes and just call it a day.
Or we just never get to the part where Nemu dies.
Yeah,
just
it just cuts away. Like, yep. Classic, it's like, oh, this is the ending of the season. Yep. It's over.
There
it's done.
Go.
Yep. Hope you guys didn't want to see that part. But yeah, I think, you know, obviously, I think all of these opinions are valid across the board, because I feel like there comes a time, and this is something I was actually going to touch on when we were talking about how this beat Attack on Titan. there is definitely a shift in the culture now where you are not allowed to say bad things about your favorite anime, right? That is a thing. You are, it is sacrilege to speak up and speak poorly about the anime that you're standing, because you're supposed to pump it up. You know, you want to support it as much as you can. Bleach is awesome. Bleach is great. Bleach is amazing. Push, 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 push. It's hard to speak out, and you get kind of shunned for it. It's like, oh, well, why are you feeding the trolls? Like, why are you doing this? Where I think it's fine. Like, all these are valid opinions, and I agree with most of them. I think they're all good, and I see where a lot of these people are coming from, although I think this season was good all the way through and through. I agree with the changing of the fights. I agree with having too much of the original content in the front half, and so it made the second half kind of, you thought you were going to get the same thing, and you didn't. There's a lot of good things to be said, and I don't think the rankings are necessarily bad. If you think Core 3 is better than Core 1, if you think Core 2 is better than all of them, I mean, that's crazy, but it's fine, you know? And I think with Attack on Titan, that came back on the day where it was, everybody was being controversial about Attack on Titan. Everybody spoke their mind and reviewed it and such. And for Attack on Titan, it's still to this day of such a high review, is good, yeah. Really fucking good. But obviously with Bleach, you know, it may not be as good as Attack on Titan in reality, but it's because of the culture and how it's, everything is now a 10 out of 10. It's almost like we all work for fast food joints and the only good score is a 10 out of 10.
Yep.
And anything less than that is viewed as bad.
Sam, I think you are insane, because that has always been the culture. Back in the day, you had the wars between Naruto and Bleach, and if you were a fan of one, you couldn't be a fan of the other. And if you said anything bad about a chapter that came out of Bleach, you were wrong. Why are you even here? You're secretly a Naruto fan in disguise. I think this is just how it has always been. You're not telling me anything new.
No, that's not my experience. I don't have the experience at all. I think back in the day, there was this community of the big three, and you would be on Manga Stream, and all three would come out, and you would read all three.
Yep.
And like, that was how it would be.
That was what we did.
That is not what I did. It was, you picked one, and you liked that one, and if you said anything bad about it, you would be shunned.
All I'm hearing is Pythes was part of the problematic community, and the problematic community is what won out to today.
Oh, so I won. Good to know.
There you go.
You're telling me that I won.
You were on the correct side of history, Pythes, is what I'm telling you.
I don't...
He loves that.
Oh, that has so many bad implications. Okay. I was about to make a real bad joke Sam was going to have to for sure cut.
Yeah, let's not make any more extra work.
But, there, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess that's kind of my opinion on it. And I think now more so, and obviously I think it is a net positive that people want to support and be so positive about the stuff that they like. I think it is net good. And I see a lot of it on Twitter where like people will go to the animators and be like, thank you so much for your hard work. And then I also see the opposite where people will go to the animators and be like, fuck you. I'm like, oh my God, like that's crazy.
And you see those people that were clowning on the Chainsaw Man director?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's a balance to it. And I think all of these are great points. And I would love, if you guys are watching this and you guys have an opinion like that as well, let us know in the comments. I'd be very interested to know what your thoughts are on the season as a whole. Ultimately, what you would rank the season versus all the other ones. And then additionally, what was your favorite episode of all time? Like that's what I'm really interested to know. There is a lot of good contenders in this one, with I think I would assume that Shunsui Bankai episode is probably the highest rated of Thousand Blood, where I should have checked. But I doubt anything else beats a 9.8. Like, that's crazy. That's a high ranking.
Once again, he's my goat.
And let's take this moment to give a quick shout out to our Patreon. If you guys didn't know, with Bleach Boys, you guys need to get an extra bit of content every single week on the Patreon, patreon.com/weebsguild. If you guys can, we would greatly appreciate if you guys can support us there. It does help us out a lot. Now, we do have a special level, the Weebs Guild captain level. Now, would it shock you that we have 6 captains now?
Wait, what?
Yeah, we have 6. So let's start out with the ones we know. Shout out to PV.
OG.
Right? OG. Matilda upgraded. Ooh. She was originally a Weebs Guild member. Now Weebs Guild captain. Joined the elite ranks. John, we knew, has been a captain for a while. Last week we had Rizix. Remember, we promoted Rizix to Weebs Guild captain. We have 2 more. Veronica Bermudez, which is a cool fucking name. Bermudez, like the Bermuda Triangle. That's cool. And Pickle Rick.
Let's go.
So
I'm Pickle Rick.
We're at 6 Weebs Guild captains. As stated last week, remember, we're going to close it once it hits 13. So that way
they're going to be our OG
13 elite captain level members. And then you're locked in. It's it. It's done. That's how it goes. So thank you guys for your support.
And we keep it open, and we have another tier that's the exact same thing. We just call you the Espada.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Wow.
Fighties, you're cooking with fire.
You know what? The first few people that were from, like, you know, like our highest tier, they get to choose what faction they're from.
We double scam. Ready? We do Weeb's Guild Captain levels, and then for the Spadas, we double the prize.
What about when we get to
Because everybody's going
to
want to be a Spada. Everybody's going to want to be one. So then we'll go the Schutzstaffel. There's only be about six of them. Or, well, Stern Raiders, we have all the alphabet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we need to make a tier. The Espadas will be $75. The Schutzstaffel will be $50.
Yeah,
I like that. Should have been reversed for the Weebs.
But the Espadas are so much cooler.
Yeah, I mean they're the goats, dog. They're the best.
Because I sign up for a premium thing, I'm gonna be an Espada. If you make me a Stern Ritter, I'll fight you.
Pythes is gonna fly down to California and be like, "Where are you at, bitch?"
Yeah.
No, I fly down. I have a chair. Like I'm La Parker from WCW, I give Sam the nastiest chair shot of my life, and I just walk away.
Sam's in the middle of work, and you just hear bap.
Everyone's like, "Who the fuck was that guy?" It's like,
Sam
my
calls
boy.
Out. He's like, "It's okay, I deserve it."
Then you hear JR and commentary. By God, he's broken in half.
And let's also take this moment to thank everybody for joining the Discord. We have continually had an increase in people in the Discord. Everybody was so excited that you said Happy New Year, Jose. So everybody's like, Jose's like a fucking groundhog coming out from the hole once in a while.
The problem is that I work too much now, and unfortunately, I don't have my phone on me at all times at work. So I come in and I see the conversations have already passed. I'm like, and I sit there going, "Oh, I missed out on a really
Everyone
good one.
Was saying the Jose reaction for the Nemu episode was one of the Weebs Guild videos of the years.
So
I say everybody as
cry.
In John was saying
that. John just likes seeing me cry.
So shout out. If you guys have not already, join our Discord. We have a great community in there. We have a bunch of cool stickers. We have a bunch of cool custom ranks that you can get granted. There's a question of the day guy who asks a lot of cool questions.
I've been seeing a lot of the question of the day.
Definitely checking out. And of course, make sure you are subscribed to us on our YouTube and follow us on all of our socials. Links for all of that and the Patreon will be in the description down below. With that, Pythes, did you have something else you wanted to say before we head over to the exclusive Bleach Boys Captains Meeting part of the podcast?
So I had a question, and it is something Sam himself asked, and I made fun of him for it, and I memed on it, but it's a real question. So what is up with the polymerization circle that Yugum stands in front of?
Pythes, you're such a son of a bitch. Now, I don't know, and someone correct me if I'm wrong. So Pythes, you may not even know this. Sometimes we have conversations and Pythes and I will go at it a little bit much and it's friendly banter.
It really is. It's hilarious.
I don't have any problem with it, but sometimes when I'm watching it back, I will be like, man, they might think that I hate Pythes. Like they might think that I'm like legitimately upset at Pythes, and it's not. Like we're just boys having a chat. So sometimes I cut it out. So a lot of times those conversations, I think that conversation might have been one of the conversations I cut out. But there was a podcast that we were talking about the fucking floating red orb. And it started with me asking, like, what the fuck? Like, what is this red orb that we've had no explanation for what it's for? And Pythes kept going, polymerization, polymerization. And I was like, what the fuck are you saying, Pythes? And I'm like, this red orb, like, what? And you're just like, fusion spell. And we just started arguing over if this was shown before, what explanation have we gotten?
Was that two weeks ago?
It was a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
What is the heart of the Varveld? Was it shown in the Renji versus Udyu episode? We went back and forth for a long time. I think I cut it. But I agree. What is the deal with that?
So I'm saying Sam shouldn't have cut it because I think our banter is what makes the podcast work.
Sometimes, Pythes, I will have my fiance listen to it. I'm like, do you think this comes off as like, too much of a salty bitch? Because I listen to a lot of podcasts. I used to back in the day. I used to listen to a lot. And sometimes it gets too serious, and I'm like, ooh. Like,
you're like I don't want to be part of this.
Like, hate that. Like, you know, sometimes I would get her third-party opinion, and I'm like, hey, just honestly, like, if you didn't know me or Pythes, how does this come off? And I've done it before. There was a time that we made some sort of a joke that it was a little controversial. I had my fiance weigh in. I'm like, yay or nay? And she was like, yeah, probably a nay. So we cut it out. And in that one, she was like, yeah, you guys are like a couple of bitches. I was like, all right, so we're just going to cut that.
Because you were just kind of going back and forth at it. I do remember this
one. Yes.
But
to
I
be
mean,
fair, it's all fun.
It's all in good fun. And if you know Sam, Sam does like to mess with you a lot.
Yeah, it's all for funsies.
Believe me, it might not be on the podcast, but I roast Sam all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's really funny now. So this is a great point. Really funny now that when I do the live streams for the manga reading or the reaction, there is a following that has been with us for a while since Bleach Brave Souls, like Pythies times and stuff like that, where in Bleach Brave Souls, it was a very common, which is funny, to just shit on me. Just like absolutely shit on me.
Oh my God.
And just say some of the most heinous shit that you've just ever heard.
I would chime in. I would look at your live streams and you were just being ripped apart. I'm like, damn, dude.
Which I have said time and time again, do not care if it's funny. Like if it's going to be a really funny roast, fucking love it. Like I think it's the most funny. We last year did a video reacting to some of the meanest comments, which maybe we should do again.
Yes.
And they were fucking hilarious. There is now this culture conflict that is happening where there are people that are joining now from Bleach Boys and they're like want to have this positivity, constructive criticism conversation. And then someone will just come in and be like, fuck you, Sam. Hope you have cancer. And then the other half will be like, what the fuck? Like
that's a Discord right now. I saw it pop up a couple of times.
Yeah. They'll be like, why are you being so mean? And I'm like, no, it's okay, guys. It's like, it's fine. Like, this guy's been here for 3 fucking years watching all my videos, and he occasionally comes in and asks how my cancer is going. Which I don't have, by the way, just to clear the air. But
it's
shout
a choice,
out to the
guys.
Boy, Django and Scar will show up just to talk shit at Sam and then leave.
Yep. You will never see them again for 3 months.
just appear and disappear.
So, yeah. That is all just to lead back to the conversation that we had, where it is all good fun. But I agree. What the fuck is with that orb? Are we going to get an explanation on it? I don't think so.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't know.
I think it's just a cool thing.
Decoration, yeah.
That's what I was going to say, Pythies. I think it's just a really cool fucking thing that gives off really cool fucking lighting.
I mean,
that's it.
Yeah, he looks cool as hell with the red glow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'll make an addendum. I never talk shit to Jose because he's the boy. There's a favorite child, and it's Jose. I think the meanest thing I ever say is, oh, Jose's here. I guess the podcast is going to start late.
Yeah, very true.
That's very true. I'd run on Mexican time.
All right. So you know what? We'll save we'll save my FGO story for the captain's meeting because they need to know.
Perfect. Oh. Okay. Let's call it. Thank you guys so much for watching. Now, to set the scene, don't go anywhere. Bleach Boys will be continuing. We are going to move into what we have deemed the Bleach Boys filler arc. Obviously, Bleach has ended. There's not much more to talk about Bleach Sizing Blood War as it comes to an end. We have no ETA on the return of Bleach Sizing Blood War Part 4. All we know is this nice little image right here, and that it's called the Calamity. That's all we got.
I mean, I like the name Calamity.
So with that, we're going to move more into a much more laid back, much more other animes that we're watching. Pythies is really into Fate Fake. Is that what it's called?
Strange Fake.
Strange Fake. I'm still watching Hunter x Hunter with the Fiance. I got tons of fun stories I could tell you.
Dude,
so
yeah.
Stay tuned. We will obviously be talking about Bleach things as they occur, but it'll be much more broad. It'll be the Bleach Boys filler arc. You will still be seeing us as we wait for Thousand Blower Part 4. So don't go anywhere, and you will still be getting your extra 15 minutes on Patreon.
You might even get some more old school lore between us and
correct,
stuff like that.
Correct. So we will be here to carry you guys all the way through Part 4. And with that, we are now heading over to our Patreon exclusive content where Pythies is going to drop some FGO raging that he's done. I have an interview from the voice actor of Ichigo and Uryu now that the season is ended that they gave. With a couple of cool things in there. A lot of stuff we've already known. But stay tuned. We will see you guys over on the Patreon, and we will see you guys next week for another episode. Bye, everybody.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as 1 day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions.
Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.